If it's been a wild and crazy week, and you got another one coming up, is he still worthy of our praise? Well, let's praise the Most High God. Father, we love you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He is so good. He is so good, and we are so blessed. If I could have everybody turn to the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John in the New Testament. John chapter 10, you can follow along on the monitors, your bulletin, as well as the good book. John 10, verses 9 through 11. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Dear gracious Lord, we love you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for your anointing here this morning, Lord. Thank you that your will is going to be done. Thank you that each and every person here will receive the word that you have for us, Lord, and that we will leave here refreshed and encouraged, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that you will anoint me this morning, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that there won't be any time wasted, that what needs to be said will be said, what needs to be held back will be held back, Father God, but we will receive and we will walk in your truth. In Jesus' wonderful, precious, amazing name we pray. And everybody in the church said, thank you, Lord. Just go ahead and give the Lord some praise one more time. Good Jesus. So God's doing this big old work in me. He's been doing it for a long time now. It's nothing new, but I got to tell you, he's been putting my feet to the fire, so to speak. Or let me word it like this. In the times when I have been hesitant, to go deeper in my walk, when I have grown complacent with my walk, and maybe sometimes just the world just kind of gets you going and you're just really kind of busy, you know, and you put what's truly important on the back burner, you know, God has really been, you know, shaking me and shaking everything in my little world that can be shaken and saying, you know, Paul, this is what's important, man. You know, you need me and I've called you by name. And so I've put you on this planet to be about my business, to give me glory. And that just doesn't go for me up here on this little pulpit, but that goes for all his people. That goes for each and every one of us. He's saying, move a little closer to where that fire is burning. Amen. He's saying, get a little closer to me. And look, man, we're going to need this relationship with the Lord. I'm not talking about doom and gloom or whatever this world may throw at us, but I am actually talking about whatever this world may throw at us. We're going to need him. We need him now. And so now's the time where we want to go deeper in our relationship, where we want to go deeper. Some of us are saying, man, I've been going through it, man. I don't see no light at the end of the tunnel. I'm just here to say that God is good and God wants us to hang on to him and God wants us to grow in him. Amen. And he is everything we need. So to get into our text this morning, John 10, Jesus Christ just healed a blind man. He just healed a blind man. The Pharisees are not pleased at all. So Jesus is having this discussion, and the Pharisees are pretty upset with this Jesus Christ who has really good results, who speaks the word with authority, and Jesus Christ systematically is destroying their arguments and messing up the religious elite of the days, messing up their program. And so there's this discussion going on between Jesus and this blind man and the Pharisees, and Jesus begins to talk about the good shepherd. The good shepherd. Now, keep in mind, the Pharisees were the religious leaders of the day. They were like the Supreme Court, the religious leaders, these big-time lawyers. They had all this authority, and they were really abusing it. And there wasn't a lot of relationship with the Lord with a lot of these guys. So as Jesus is saying that I am the good shepherd, he is saying, you guys you're not good shepherds. You've been entrusted with this truth, and you've used it and manipulated it for your own power. You know, so anyways, that's where we're at. We're just going to go over a few verses for our main ones this morning. But it's very interesting. If we look at the very first four words, it says, I am the door. I am the door. In the book of John, in the Gospel of John, John has recorded seven I am statements. And you say, what in the world is a I am statement? Well, I am statement, bottom line, when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, when Jesus says, I am the true vine, when he says these seven I am statements, what he's saying is, I am God. That's what he's saying. I am God. Give the Lord some praise. So John was very careful to document the seven I am statements. And I didn't even mean to do this, but when I was doing my study and I had already determined that I wanted to share these three verses with you, I noticed that in these three verses we have two of the seven I am statements where John is saying Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what John set out to do, to prove this is the Lord God. This is the Messiah. This is the Lamb slain before the foundations of the earth. But it says, I am the door. And I think that is super, super cool, because if you do a little looking back, you see the word I am, or the words I am, rather, it should jar your memory a little bit. If you ever went to Sunday school or read the book of Exodus, you remember when Moses was out in the wilderness. He had run from Pharaoh. He was out in the wilderness, and Moses had become a shepherd. He was out there in the wilderness, and he saw this burning bush, and he says, I got to go see this burning bush. He goes and gets closer to the burning bush, and he hears this voice, take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. So this bush begins to talk to him, but it is God. It's God talking through the bush, or God revealing himself as this burning bush. And he says, Moses, I know you're 80 years old, man, and I know you've been out here, you've been a shepherd for 40 years, and you know, you haven't been back to Egypt in a really long time, but I've called you to go set my people free. I need you to go back to Egypt, and I want you to represent me with Pharaoh. I want you to tell him to let my people go. And Moses is kind of, he's like, no, you got the wrong guy here. I already tried that once, and that's why I'm out here in the wilderness. You know, but anyways, he says, who would I even say sent me? And he says this right here, Exodus 3 and verse 14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. Now that is so precious to me. That is so wonderful and precious to me. I'm not just saying that, but think about it like this, okay? I am who I am. So Moses, it's not about who you are. Because Moses was going around saying, I'm not a good talker. I stutter a little bit. You got the wrong guy. You don't want me to do this. And God is saying, Moses, it's not about you, bro. It's about me. It's about who I am. I've called you, and I'm going to equip you. I'll never forget, and I think about this quite often. It was a day or two after my father passed away, and this precious lady calls, Lynn Petrozino. She's an old past member of Victory Life Church from years, years gone by, very special, close friend of my family, Lynn and Steve Petrozino. And so she called, and she was wanting to encourage me, because all of a sudden, not only going through the death of my father, but then, you know, automatically becoming a pastor of a church, you know, so she wanted to give me a little bit of encouragement. She said these words. It was the first time I ever heard it. I've heard it a million times since, and I'm sure you heard it, but it is the truth. And when I heard these words from her, it pierced my heart, because, yeah, I was mourning the loss of my father, but there was just so many emotions going on, you know, how to be a, you know, just my whole world was kind of just tipped upside down, that sort of rigmarole. But she's on the phone with me, and I'm walking around pacing in my mom and dad's front yard, and she said, God doesn't call the equipped. I'm sure you've heard this before. God doesn't call the equipped, but he equips the called. He equips the called. And when this lady said that to me, it was like, boom, yeah, it was just this weight lifted off of me, because I knew what she was saying was true. I just had to walk in God's truth. You know what I mean? And I've been doing it ever since. I mean, you know, day by day. But that is the truth. God's saying to Moses, hey, man, I've called you and I'm going to give you the tools that you need. Matter of fact, Moses, if you look back on your life a little bit, all this training, the military training you had with the Egyptians and all their culture and fine arts and all this stuff, man, that was training that I was giving you, man. And you out here with these sheep for all these years, that's going to come in real handy in the days ahead when I stick you with a couple million of your own people. Anywho, moving forward, God says to Moses this. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people. I am has sent me to you. I am has sent me to you. So this is how God reveals himself to Moses by the name I am. And what I like to do is in my own mind, in my own struggles, in my own battles, in my own shortcomings, I like to take those little words, I am, and then do this with it. I am everything you need, man. I've got you covered. Trust in me. Give the Lord some glory. So he says, Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. So talking about being saved, one of the things that this is speaking of God's protection over my life. Listen, God's protection over my life. That doesn't mean that you're going to have a long life. That doesn't mean that everything's going to go your way. It doesn't mean that at all. But it means that God, you know that Satan would just love to destroy you and obliterate you and get you out of the fight yesterday. He doesn't want you around. He's scared to death of a Bible-believing Christian. And he wants to sideline you. So, but this is, look at Psalm 23 and verse 4. Right here on the monitor, talking about God's protection over my life, man. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, everybody knows this verse. But think about it, man. Think about this. And David had this. This is David's psalm right here. And David, you know, he was a shepherd for many, many years. And it's amazing to me because as you read some of these psalms, especially this one, you got to picture him out there with the sheep and thinking, just like I will get in between these sheep and a bear, or between these sheep and a lion, and I will do what I have to do to protect them, you know, and I'll do what I have to do to correct them, you know. I'm going to be there for them, just like how I am so devoted to these little sheep. That's how my God is toward me. So he comes up with this beautiful saying, Psalm 23, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's a hardcore statement right there. You know, no one likes to think about, well, you know what I got to do this time next week? Looks like I'll be walking through the valley of the shadow. This is some serious, hardcore, scary business right here. And this verse has meant so many people that their life has been in peril, you know. And it should mean something to us as well. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I don't know about you, but the valley of the shadow of death, that doesn't sound like a very nice, cool, relaxing place. That doesn't sound like a place where I want to be. Yeah, I think I'm going to, never mind. But look, even though I have to go through this situation, even though God has allowed me, or God has signed off on this situation that I am ordained to go through, okay, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. We're talking about God's protection. He is the door, okay? I will fear no evil. Why? You're in the valley of the shadow of death. How come you ain't gonna fear no evil, man? I mean, the name alone is just crazy. I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. See, that's the beautiful part about our relationship with Jesus Christ is he's not just there to, he's not just going to say, I'm going to help you through this hard time, but he applies himself to our situation. You know, he gets involved. He runs to the scene of the crime. He runs to the scene of the accident. He's never closer to you than when you are truly hurting or going through a difficult season in your life. I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So David's like, no matter what I go through, I'm not going to be fearful. I'm not going to be stressed out, you know, because God, you're with me and you've got everything I need. Okay, so when it says, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. But certainly it's not just talking about our protection here. We know what the deep, deep meaning of all this is he's talking about my eternal salvation. And this is a really, really beautiful statement because Jesus says, I am the door. There ain't no other door but me. I am the way to be saved. I am the way to eternal life. Matter of fact, look at John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to him, and this is really interesting. This happens to be another I am statement. Out of the seven, we're tackling three of them today. John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the way and the truth and the life. This verse right here is so amazing to me. And as I get older, it is just more and more important to me. When we live in this crazy world, when you know, okay, so look, here's the deal, man. Sometimes you turn on the TV and the people that are just supposed to say, okay, here's the facts, this is what's going on in our world today, you make your decision, this is what's going on, or whatever. They're telling you what to believe, they're misleading you, and they're acting like you're stupid. And that's what really gets to me. That's what really gets under my skin, is you want me to pretend that I'm an idiot, and you're going to tell me this stuff, and I'm just supposed to gobble it up because you got yourself a little picture show, and you're reading from the teleprompter, and you're getting all this money from special interest to say all this rubbish. Let me stop. I better stop. But see, here's the deal. And I'm sorry, man, but that's really the truth, man. It really is the truth. But see, talking about the truth, that's one of the reasons why I love this verse so much, this other I am statement. Jesus said to him, I am the way. I'm the way. I'm the door to your salvation. I am the way to eternal life. I am the way and the truth. I am the truth. So this is what you do. You take the word of God and you stack it up to whatever the talking head said on the TV. And you see what lines up with the word of God. We got to stand on the word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. And even in this world where there's so much corruption, and it's like, well, who do I trust? Trust in the name of the Most High God. Trust in him. Follow him. All right? Because no matter what God allows to come on the scene, no matter what God allows to come into your life, look, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So, yeah, we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant and all that stuff. But we need to put our trust in the Most High God and not be running around saying all kinds of crazy cuckoo stuff like a chicken with your head cut off. Put your trust in the Most High God. Can I get a witness, huh? So, I am the door. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. So, historical note here. This is just the really, really cool thing, because when Jesus is talking to these Pharisees, talking to this man born blind who is no longer blind, and he says, look, I'm the door. And when the sheep come to me, they're going to be saved. See, what he's talking about is, and you can look this up, man, but shepherds, they would, at nighttime, they would move their sheep or their flocks into these enclosures, these stone enclosures. So picture like a stone fence or a pen of sorts, but there was no door. There was no swinging door or anything like that, but there was an opening in this enclosure that was just big enough for the shepherd to sit in that doorway. He would sit in that doorway, or he would recline in that doorway, and that's where he would sleep at night. So when Jesus Christ is saying, I'm the door, okay, these guys would be like, oh, I've seen that before, talking about shepherds, yeah, okay. And they would be like a sentry there sleeping. I'm not saying they were there for 100 years, but they were on guard, okay. You know, and they would rest there throughout the night, and they would be there to protect the sheep. Yeah, so the sheep couldn't get out and get hurt, but also so no predators could get in. If they were going to get in, they were going to have to mess with the shepherd. And so Jesus is saying the whole time, you guys are not good shepherds, man. You guys are absolutely horrible shepherds. They never liked that. They didn't like that. They didn't like that. But see, Jesus is saying, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the door. I am the door. Like this, John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Okay, so it doesn't matter how devout you are to your religion, whatever that might be. It's not about being sincere in what you do or what you believe in. You actually have got to believe in the right thing. You've actually got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is the only way to eternal life. You really got to understand that, hey, you know what? I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. He died for my sins. He rose from the dead. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. And if I will believe in him, if I will believe on him, he will forgive me of my sins. Therefore, I will be able to be with the Father. I will have eternal life. Let's go to the next slide, church people. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So this is pretty cool. So Jesus Christ is my door. He is my salvation. Okay, he takes care of me. He protects me. But he says, look, when you're with me, you will go in and out and you will find pasture. You know, sheep need pasture for sustenance. They need to have that ability to graze and get the stuff that they need for life. So Jesus Christ is saying, look, with me, okay, you're going to have everything you need. You're going to have what you need for this life. Is that true? Yeah, it's absolutely true. He's not saying it's going to be easy. He never says this is the easy way. He says, give me your burdens. When you're tired of spinning your wheels, come to me and I'll give you peace. I'll give you rest. It's about trusting in him. So we grab all of these wonderful, precious promises that he gives us. And he says, look, you're going to have pasture. You're going to remember Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me to lie down. So God is saying, man, come to me. Give your heart to me. Okay, you're not going to regret it. I will give you what you need. Matthew 6, verse 33, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. So this is a God that the God that we serve, the one true God. He says, I want to take care of my kids. What kind of father would be a father if he didn't want to take care of his kids? Can I get a witness? And so the good father, the good shepherd says, I'm not just saving your soul, man, but I want to meet your needs. Psalm 23, verse 1. Very powerful verse. We all know it. Psalm 23, verse 1. Am I talking too fast? Let me just slow down a little bit. All God's people said, okay, I get excited, you know. I get excited. What can I say? Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What a beautiful, beautiful, powerful verse right there. If God is my shepherd, I shall not want. You don't have to go, you don't have to read a bunch of fancy boy commentaries to figure that one out. You know, God's saying, if I'm your shepherd, if I am your shepherd, you're going to be all right. You're going to be. So the thing is he my shepherd? Am I allowing him to be my shepherd? So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The NIV says this, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I lack nothing. That's got to be a pretty good feeling to have, right? Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I like what this one says. The NLT, the Lord is my shepherd. Check this out. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. Thank you, Jesus. See, with God, we truly have all we need in Jesus Christ. We truly have everything that we need in Jesus Christ. He is my protector. He is my Savior. He is my provider. He is everything. Okay. Now look at Psalm 19. Yeah, Psalm 19 and verse 7. Okay. Because when we see the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, sometimes we think, well, just kind of superficial, surface level stuff. And it means way more than that, obviously. It's everything. everything I need. And see, God's talking about my innermost being, that immaterial part of myself as well. He says, I got that covered, bro. Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord, what are you talking about? The law of the Lord, the word of God, the scriptures. Jesus is the word made flesh. The law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. Reviving the soul. I love that. Reviving the soul, refreshing the soul, rejuvenating the soul. Man, how does that feel to you, man? You ever feel like you just need some refreshing? Some reviving? Okay, well, God says, I got you covered, man. Get into my good book and see that it is wonderful, that it is good for you. Amen. That it's got all the spiritual nutrients. I am the bread of life. Okay. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. God's word is trustworthy. God, remember, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So you never have to doubt that. You know, you need to put on your thinking cap anytime you decide to watch any news or read a newspaper or anything like that. You know, you need to really have discernment nowadays. But see, you can go to the Word of God, and that is the truth. That is the way, the truth, and the life. So God is, God has everything we need through the man, the God-man, Jesus Christ. Look at this. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy. The testimony of the Lord is sure. I like this part. Making wise the simple. This word has come true to you in your very, no, I'm playing. In your very, no, I'm playing. I'm playing. Would never say that. Well, you just kind of did. I had to finish it. Okay. Anywho, tell the truth, shame the devil. Look at 2 Peter. He's got that pasture for me. He's got everything I need. 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power. Not everybody has divine power. You might have a little sway here and there. You might have some people you can get to jump through hoops for you if you get loud enough. But you ain't got divine power. Or do you, or don't you? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? All right? So we do, don't we? But see, look at this. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So talking about that provision, what does that not take care of? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Right? My innermost being to the food on my table. Right? His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. The deeper I go in my relationship with God, the more I realize he is everything I need and he has everything I need. I like how the Message Bible says this. Message Bible paraphrases is, it's so amazing. I don't read it too much. I do like to dig into it from time to time. I love to check out and see what it says. The Message Bible, talking about 2 Peter 1:3, says this. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God. Because that's what you're here for. That's what you, well, the Constitution, okay, well, this is what God says. God says you exist to give me glory. Your life is to be like a city on a hill pointing to me. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us, check this out, by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. Thank you, Jesus. So it's about relationship, man. And the deeper I go with God, you know, the more he reveals to me and the more I realize this is the big picture, man. This is the deal. This is what it's all about. Yeah? Can I get a witness? Let's go to the next slide. John 10, verse 10. Jesus just said, I'm the door. John 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And, you know, so Jesus, knowing that these Pharisees are listening to him, I wonder if he kind of looks over at their way. You know, and we don't have no way of knowing for sure. But these Pharisees, this we do know. They knew that Jesus was talking about them. They go, well, are we blind too? We blind? But Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. So yeah, this is false teachers. This is the bad shepherds. But this is also the devil. You know, this is the thief. And this is what he wants to do with your family. This is what he wants to do with your life. This is what he wants to do with your witness, your testimony. He wants to sideline you. He wants to get you out of the picture. He wants to make your testimony no good. Okay, he comes to make you miserable. That's what he wants to do. He wants to make you completely miserable. And he can't have your salvation. If you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, Satan can't have that. There ain't a thing in the world he can do about that. Jesus said, I will in no way cast you out. You're mine now. You're in my family. You're my son. Well, I did this and I did that. Well, okay, we'll get ready for some correction, right? Okay, because a good loving father is going to bring correction. Can I get a witness, right? But if he loves you, there's no way he's going to get rid of you. He won't do that. He's bound by his word. He wouldn't do it anyways. He is devoted to you. Anywho, moving forward. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And see, but this is, Jesus says, look, but this is what I came to do. Pharisees, this is what I came to do. Satan, this is what I came to do. Guy that was blind a couple minutes ago, but now you see? I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now that is just so powerful and so amazing and so beautiful. Jesus, what did you come to do? I came that you might have life. Because the choice is yours. But I mean, look, I came that you have life and have the abundant life. Now, a lot of people like to run with this and say it means something it doesn't. Look, God definitely wants to take care of you. He is not obligated to give you every little thing your heart desires. Yeah, well, I thought it said in the word that he'll give you the desires of your heart. Yeah. He wants to give his desires and put them into your heart. And then he says, this is what you want. This is what you need. And let me help you get this. You know? So here's the deal. He wants us to have that abundant life. You know? So certainly, absolutely, positively, man, we know it's talking about that eternal salvation. And that's the big deal right there. Or that's something to get excited about. Everybody get down. A motorcycle gang found me finally. Wouldn't that be something if they started kicking up dirt and running up in, never mind. We've been looking for you. Now, Brother Dalton will make short work of them boys. So what's going on? I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. So look with me. Look with me at 1 John 5, verse 11. See, this is why you don't give up. 1 John 5 and verse 11. And this is the testimony that God gave us. What is the testimony that God gave us? Look at that. Eternal life. Man, how's that sounding to you? Eternal life. You know what I mean? Man, that's one of the reasons why we don't have to worry about that thief. Because for the Christian, man, this is when this life ends, or when this chapter's finished, we just springboard into our eternity, you know, where there's fullness of joy, where there's no death and decay and destruction. A thief can't get to you. That's good news, man. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his son. Why is it in his son? Because he's the door. I am the door. I am the way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So you want eternal life? It's only going to come through one way. The access point is Jesus Christ. Okay. The abundant life for the nasty now and now, right, is honestly to get to know him. You know, the deeper I go in my walk with him, not that it's easy, you know, but the deeper I go into this relationship with the Lord, the more beautiful he becomes to me. the more everything he becomes to me. I give the Lord some praise. I really believe the abundant life is to get to know God, man. So 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge. Grow in your relationship with the Lord, man. Grow in learning about him, not just learning about him, but learning of him, becoming more intimate with the creator of the universe. How is that even something that we have access to? Well, because Jesus Christ is the door. And because of what Jesus Christ did at the cross, I have access to the throne room of heaven. Think about that. Wake up, church people. Think about that, man. I have access to the throne room of heaven. Man, I can't even get into Sam's Club, dude. You know what I'm saying? Man, I went in there one time. I just moved to Pensacola for a little bit. I was like, Sam's Club, let me check this out. I'm going to walk in there. Like, are you a member? What? You mean am I a member? You know, you got to be a member. Okay, I'm going to make me a member. It was like 10 bucks or something like that back then. It's like, well, you got to fork out 10 bucks. I ain't no member. Yeah, whatever. But see, here's the deal, man. I got access to the throne room of heaven. I mean, me, Sister Jones, Sister Claudia, Brother Dalton, Brother Dustin. We're just folks, man. But we have access to the creator of the universe. And he says, I want to hang out with you. Come learn of me. Come hang out with me, man. And you will have that abundant life. You're going to learn some things that you couldn't even imagine before you came to me. Okay, so look at Philippians 4:19. See, this really sums it up for me, man. This is the beautiful statement right here, beautiful statement right here. To know that it's going to be all right. That's the abundant life, man, really. To know that it's going to be all right. Well, Paul, that's so easy for you to say. Man, look, yeah, I mean, I know you guys are going through it. I know that, and I would never downplay that. But I'm just here to say, man, that God has the answer to whatever we're going through, whatever it is. See, look right here, Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours, everyone. And my God will, because I need some peace, man. I need some, run into his arms. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. See how everything goes back to Jesus Christ? To get to the Father, to get to the provision, to get to the abundant life, to get to eternal life, there's only one way. You got to go through that shepherd. He is the gate. He is the door. It's all through Jesus Christ. You ain't nothing without him, but I can do all things with him. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Then Jesus says this. I'm going to read John 10:9-11 again. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and about and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, you know that God underneath the Pharisee's skin when he says that. You guys, you're not good shepherds at all, man. You're like a hired hand. You don't care about these sheep. You care about yourself. That's all you care about. But he says, I'm the good shepherd, and I will lay down my life for my sheep. And he did. He did. He did lay down his life for his sheep. He did that for us. Now, just a little tiny snippet of that. Look right here at Isaiah 53, verse 5. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And he was about to go to the cross and do that. Isaiah 53 and verse 5, talking about the cross and what took place. But he was pierced for our transgressions. See, we're the ones that sinned. We're the ones that blew it. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. That crushed, that word right there is just so powerful. You know, to think about the weight of just the weight of my sin. The weight of my sin, man, in pounds and ounces, you know, would just crush anybody. But it wasn't just my sin. It was the sin of all humanity. It was placed on Jesus Christ. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Now check this out. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. God doesn't want us to be stressed out. He doesn't want us to be anxious, just freaking out. And see, here's the deal. He paid for us to have peace. He paid for us to have eternal life. And the beautiful part about it is, you know, I don't know how much time I got. None of us know how much time we have. We don't know that. We're not privileged to that information. And would we even really want that information? I'll be staying home from work today. I maxed out all my credit cards, by the way. Well, you know, whatever. Who wants that? Okay, moving forward. But see, here's the deal, man. Is however it happens, when it happens, whatever, I'm not losing any sleep about it. And there's some things I'd like to accomplish, man. I'd like to see my little girls married off and all that. But that's in the Lord's hands. You know? But see, here's the thing. Is I got peace. I got peace about it, man. I'm not worried about it. I mean, you know, there's some ways. I've been around a bunch of people going to the other side of Jordan, you know. Some ways I would rather not go out, but, you know, whatever. I'm looking at the joy on the other side of that, man. So, I mean, I'm not worried about it. I got peace because I know where I'm going. You know, it's going to be better. It's going to be way better than this. I don't know. It's the truth, man. Okay, so anyways, you know what? I got eternal life, and I'm stoked about that. You know, I got peace in my heart. I know where I'm going when I die. So I want to ask the question this morning, and I want you to search your heart. All right, do you have peace about where you're going when you take your last breath? Because you will take your last breath one day. That's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but that will happen to each and every one of us. If the Lord tarries. So you got to search your heart. Am I, you know, because here's the thing, man. Whether the unsaved want to admit it or not, because I've got a lot of unsaved friends. And I love them dearly. Well, you shouldn't have unsaved friends. Tell me where it says that in the Bible. Look. So the unsaved folks, and not picking. I'm not picking on anybody. But they're terrified, you know. They're terrified, especially right now with all the crazy cuckoo business. Everybody knows something's going on. It's kind of a scary time if you're not saved. But I have peace. You guys have peace. I hope you have peace. But the people that aren't saved, man, they're really terrified. You see, if we have this, if we walk through that gate, if we walk through that door, we have eternal life. We have everything we need. We have peace in a time of upheaval and craziness. But he was pierced for my transgressions. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And aren't you thankful for that peace? And with his wounds, we are healed. I go from a dead man, spiritually dead, to completely made whole by the blood of Jesus, man. If you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you really got to do it. Today is the day of salvation. So this is what I want you to do. If you want to be saved, I want you to say this prayer with me, and I want you to mean it. If you want to be saved, just go ahead and repeat this prayer. Dear Lord, I know that I am a sinner. I have broken your law, and I have fallen short. I know that your son, Jesus Christ, was born of a virgin and died on a cross and rose from the dead. And he paid for my sins to be forgiven. I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of all my sins and be my Lord and Savior. And I will serve you for the rest of my days. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. Oh, I love you. If you prayed that minute, welcome to the family of God. You need to get a good book. You need to get a Bible. We got a bunch here for you. You need to get a Bible. You need to read it. Start with the book of John. That's where I'd start. You need to read the Bible. You need to talk to God every day. You need to get into a church. You can't do it on your own. We love you.